So I started to think about the sermon on Monday, actually, and I was working in my backyard, doing some renovations to my backyard. And I was like, you know what? I love renovations. My dad's shaking his head over there. Yes, I do. They'll be the first to tell you that my house is an ongoing renovation. There's always something going on in my house. And it's not because it's an old house. It's just because I love doing renovations. I've come to find out that it's kind of like my hobby. It's my peace. I relax in my renovations, believe it or not. I love swinging the hammer and drilling and making things. I absolutely love that. But I was outside working in the backyard, renovating my backyard again. And I was like, what better to talk about than something that I absolutely love doing? Let's talk about renovation. So we're going to sit here today. I'm going to tell you about my backyard. Oh, yes. Not really. I'm going to tell you about some renovations in our lives. So as I began to seek the Lord, somehow I ended up at Colossians 3:10. And this is a verse. Put on your new nature and be renewed as you learn to know your Creator and become like Him. So I love word studies. I love going into the concordance and just finding out what some of these words actually mean, because we know as things are translated into English, the definition of the words change. So I decided to look up the word renewed, and this was, guys, this wasn't like some divine revelation. I probably searched renewed online and the Lord gave me this, but I looked up the word renewed, and what do you get? You get renovations. The word renewed actually means to renovate. So let's talk about renovations. Today, I'm going to dive into several of the Apostle Paul's writings. In fact, all of them, well, possibly all of them, all of the scriptures referenced today are written by Paul. And we're going to demonstrate today the stages of growth in your walk with Christ. So, several months ago, it may have been last year, I don't know the exact date, I did a teaching on growth. I don't even remember the actual title, but it was a two-part series on growth. And so this is like an addendum, maybe a part three, or maybe just a little bit more of that series. But to be honest with you, I didn't go back to look at it because I don't exactly remember what it was on. But I know it was on growth, so just take that as you may. Who knows J.R. Tolkien? Everybody, I think every Lord of the Rings, everybody probably has heard of that name, J.R. Tolkien. Well, he coined the term eucatastrophe. Who's heard of that word? Matt, have you heard of that word? You're a writer, maybe. All right, he coined the term eucatastrophe. I may be butchering it, but that's the way it's spelled, and that's the way I'm going to say it. So he coined the term eucatastrophe, which describes a massive turn in fortune from a seemingly unconquerable situation and an unforeseen victory, usually brought by grace rather than heroic effort. He describes this. This is his description. He says this. The sudden happy turn in a story which pierces you with a joy that brings tears, and was there led to the view that it produces its peculiar effect because it is a sudden glimpse of truth. Your whole nature chained in material cause and effect, the chain of death feels a sudden release. Sorry, the chain of death feels a sudden relief as if a major limb out of the joint has suddenly snapped back. It perceives that this is indeed how things really do work in the great world for which our nature is made. And I concluded by saying that the resurrection was the greatest eucatastrophe possible. That's powerful. That is powerful. I'm going to add to that. Now, we know I completely 100% agree with that the resurrection was the greatest eucatastrophe possible. But I'm going to add that your salvation is your greatest eucatastrophe in your life. Your salvation, the moment you came to Jesus Christ, is your greatest eucatastrophe in your life. And that brings me to my first point. So again, we're talking about the stages, your walk in Christ. The first point is live for Christ. And as I'm going through all of this, and as I was putting all of this together, I'm reading all the letters of Paul, and it's almost as if he's given us an order of things. Because, believe it or not, all of these four stages that I have here are actually written chronologically in Paul's books. Okay? So you may see the order in the Bible. That's not the chronological order. If you actually look at the chronological order of Paul's books, these are written in that order. So as he's getting older, and as he's being imprisoned, as he's being bound, he's starting to write deeper and deeper things. He's getting more revelation about what it means to be in Christ. So the first one here is to live for Christ. Now, in relation to renovations, this is like the beginning stage of a renovation. This is when you get that jackhammer, or when you get that hammer and you tear down the walls, right? I mean, who doesn't like doing that? My favorite part of a renovation is the demolition. So, you know, you jump through walls. Have you seen those shows where they're jumping through a drywall? Why not? If you're going to demolish it, do it right. So this is like that beginning stage of a renovation, the demolition. This is where you live for Christ. This is, you live for Christ when you give your life to Christ. So the moment you receive Jesus Christ as your Savior, you are now living for him. You're living for him. Just as in, this is something that you cannot turn back from. So this is the moment that you take all of the old stuff from your life and you demolish it. You destroy it. You throw it away. There's no going back to it. Okay? And it's a lot easier said than done. But if you want to live for Christ, then you need to understand that you are no longer living for yourself. Because in our previous life, everything was about us. Everything was about me. I lived for me. You lived for you. Nothing else mattered. Maybe. But mostly it was all about you. But now you realize it's all about Christ. Your life is now all about Christ. 2 Corinthians 5:15 says this: He died for everyone so that those who receive his new life will no longer live for themselves. Instead, they will live for Christ, who died and was raised for them. When I married Christina, I figured out real quickly that this is no longer about me. That my life is no longer about me. It's now about me and Christina. It's about this family that we're creating. So I had to put all of the things, all of my old stuff aside, and now I had to bring in Christina, all of her things with me, because it's no longer about me. And it's the same way with Jesus. We got to put all of that old stuff aside and begin to live for Jesus, because it's no longer about you. And then we had kids, and we had Elijah, and we quickly realized that there was so much more now to live for. Because as you grow, and as you build your family, and as you get more intimate with Jesus, there's so much more to live for, right? So if you want to live for Christ, then you need to begin to see Jesus differently. Not as the rest of the world sees him. He is no longer just a guy that Christians talk about. He is no longer, maybe you've heard him as just a prophet. But instead, you begin to see him as your Savior. You begin to see him as the one who laid his life down for you. 2 Corinthians 5:16b says this: At one time, we thought of Christ merely from a human point of view. How differently we know him now. You know, we don't see Jesus as the rest of this world does. They haven't received that revelation yet. We see Jesus as our Lord and Savior. We see Jesus as the reason why we are here today. We see Jesus as the reason why we have this connection to God. We see Jesus as the one who died for us, for each and every one of us, who said, I'm going to die for Michaela. I'm going to forgive her for her sins. I'm going to die for Paul because I love him so much. We begin to see Jesus as our personal Savior. Live for Christ. That's the first stage. The second stage that I gathered through all of this reading is live with Christ. This is the part in the renovation when you begin to be like, you begin to think, what did I get myself into? What did I do? There's wires in this wall that I didn't know were there. There's pipes in this ground that I didn't know we're there. Now I got to work around all this or tear it out. Now I've got to throw more money into the project to get it done. Now you have to live with Christ. See, you've already done the accepting Jesus Christ as your Savior. You've already lived for him. Now you're going to live with him. Now, I want you guys to understand that does not mean you stop living for him. This isn't a stages where you stop one stage. You don't go from one stage to another. You go and add on to the first stage. So you live with Christ. Part A, if you want to live with Christ, then you need to get to know him. You need to get to know him. Colossians 2:7, Paul says this, let your roots, and he's talking about roots. I'm a landscaper, so I love it when he talks about roots. Let your roots go down into him and let your lives be built on him. Then your faith will grow strong in the truth you were taught and you will overflow with thankfulness. Let's say that again. Let your roots grow down into him and let your lives be built on him. Then your faith will grow strong in the truth you were taught and you will overflow with thankfulness. You have to get to know God. You have to get to know him. How do you get to know him? How do you get to know him? Simply by praying, simply by reading his word, simply by spending time with him through devotions or through whatever, just allowing him to be present in your life. So like I said, we've got Assault coming up. And we really, really get to know our students during Assault. Like this is the part where we get to live with these students and find out what they're really going through, you know? So I use this as an example because this is where we begin to live with Christ and we begin to see what he is and who he is and how much he loves us, you know? And we begin to get to know him better. I begin to get to know which students snore. And I begin to get to know which students like the room at 65 degrees, which happened several years ago. But we really begin to know God at this stage at a more intimate level. You know, if we want to live with Christ, then you need to follow him. So if you want to live with Christ, you need to get to know him. If you want to live with Christ, you need to follow him. Colossians 2:6 says this, and now just as you accepted Jesus Christ as your Lord, you must continue to follow him. What does that look like to you? What does it mean to follow Jesus? That means just to listen to him. Where he tells you, you go where he tells you to go. You do what he tells you to do. Listen to his voice. My youngest son, Ezra, who's almost two, that kid follows me everywhere. Everywhere. And I absolutely love it, but it's hard to get things done when he's following you. I'm outside working in the backyard with a shovel and or a hammer, or a chainsaw, and here comes Ezra. He follows me everywhere, and I love it because it's a teaching moment for me. I get to teach him things. But why does he follow me? He follows me because he spent a lot of time with me. You know, he follows me because he knows that I'm a safe place. He follows me because he knows that he belongs to me as his father. And we need to do the same for the Lord. You really want to follow God? You really want to let him lead you? Then you need to know who he is. You need to know that he loves you. You need to know, this may be a little harder, but you need to know that you belong to him. You don't belong to yourself any longer. You belong to God. You belong to Christ. Amen? If you want to live with Christ, then you need to focus on heaven. Colossians 3:1 says this, since you have been raised to new life with Christ, set your sights on the realities of heaven, where Christ sits in the place of honor at God's right hand. Think about the things of heaven, not the things of earth. That's hard because we live in I speak about this a lot, but we live in a culture where everything is just right in front of us. We, where we we get what we want, you know, where life is about me. But we need to focus on heaven if we want to live with Christ. C.S. Lewis says this: we must learn to live on the heavenly side and look at things from above, to contemplate all things as God sees them, as Christ beholds them, overcomes sins, defies Satan, dissolves perplexities, lifts us above trials, separates us from the world, and conquers fear of death. We must learn to live on the heavenly side. What does that mean? It means that everything you do, everything you desire, everything you want, you need to run it by God first. Because if it's not going to benefit his kingdom, and yes, God does want to bless us and he wants us to enjoy life, but he also wants us to benefit his kingdom. So the things that you do, you need to make sure it's what God wants you to do. You need to begin to look at things from a heavenly perspective. Is this going to bless the kingdom of God? If you want to live with Christ, then you need to get rid of the filth in your life. That one's hard, because just because you accept Jesus Christ as your Savior doesn't mean that filth isn't going to come back. Right? It got really quiet. Guys, nobody is perfect. But we need to get rid of the filth in our life. I'm going to read Colossians 3, 5 through 9. Because Paul just lists everything perfectly. You know, sometimes reading the scripture is better than actually speaking and sharing. But let's read Colossians 3, 5 through 9. So put to death the sinful, earthly things lurking within you. Have nothing to do with sexual immorality, impurity, lust, and evil desires. Don't be greedy, for a greedy person is an idolater, worshiping the things of this world. Because of these sins, the anger of God is coming. You used to do these things when your life was still part of the world, but now is the time to get rid of anger, rage, malicious behavior, slander, and dirty language. Say it again. But now is the time to... Actually, I'm going to go back. He's leading me here. Have nothing to do... This is important. All of these things are really important. Okay? So if this is something you're struggling with, this is the word of God. I cannot be more clear. This is not me speaking. This is the word of God. Okay? Have nothing to do with sexual immorality, impurity, lust, and evil desires. Verse 7, you used to do these things when your life was still part of this world. But now, right now, is the time to get rid of anger, rage, malicious behavior, slander, and dirty language. And we can add to that list, because you know what you need to get rid of. Don't lie to each other, for you have stripped off your old sinful nature and all of its wicked deeds. The word of God speaks. If you want to live with Christ, you need to get to know him. If you want to live with Christ, you need to follow him. You need to focus on heaven. And you need to get rid of the filth, the garbage in your life. I love the way Paul says it on verse 9. He says, but now is the time. Because he knows that even as a Christian, even as a saved person, we can still struggle with these things. Okay, he knows that it's going to creep in, that it can creep in. But we need to be strong, and we need to seek that forgiveness. We need to repent and continue our walk with the Lord. Number 3. If you want to live with Christ, number 3 is live like Christ. So we have live for Christ, live with Christ, and now we have live like Christ. Again, these are all steps to growth, okay? And Paul, I think, laid it out in a very strategic way. Live like Christ. In renovations, this is the part where you look at your project and this is where the details matter. You know, where you've got to paint the trim work, or where you've got to caulk the trim work and do those little pieces of trim that make all of the difference. This is where the details matter. If you want to live like Christ, then you need to renew your heart, mind, and soul. Colossians 3:10, put on your new nature and be renewed as you learn to know your Creator. And what? Become like Him. Become like who? Become like me? Become like my wife? No, become like Him. Romans 12:2 says, do not conform to the patterns of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Then you will be able to test and approve what God's will is, His good, pleasing, and perfect will. So here's how all this sermon started. This is where it came from. The Greek word here for renew is renovate. I told you that earlier. The Greek word is actually, I'm going to butcher it, but it's akaino, something like that. Anakaino. Anakaino, we'll go with that. The Greek word is anakaino, which means to renovate. To renovate something, what does it mean to renovate? What does it mean to renovate something? That's why I love these word studies, because it's so much deeper than just the word renew. It's so much deeper. To renovate something means to remove the old and make something new. So remove the garbage, remove the filth, and make something new. Okay? I am renovating my yard. I literally remove the grass, remove the old pipes, irrigation pipes in my ground, and I'm making something new. I am renovating. Notice in Colossians 3:10, he says, put on your new nature and be what? Renewed, renovated, as you learn to know your Creator and become like Him. This renovation does not come at the time of salvation. See, it's a progression. It's a progression. God is working on us as we continue to grow in Him. This renovation doesn't happen the moment we give our lives to Christ. That would be a lot. And I think God knew that that would be a whole lot. It's a slow walk. It's a progression to get to know Jesus. But rather, this renovation comes after we have put on our new self, after we have gotten to know the Lord, after we have walked with Him is when the renovation happens. This suggests the idea that God wants to constantly renovate us. So I'm okay renovating my house all the time. See, Mom? It's okay. It's in the Bible. God wants to constantly renovate you. You know why? Because we live in a fallen world. Because we're going to pick up garbage. We're going to pick up filth as we're walking through the land, as we're walking through this world. We're going to pick that up, and sometimes we may stumble, sometimes we may sin. But that's when God begins to renovate us again. He begins to break down those walls, those barriers. He begins to release that sin in our lives, and then He begins to renovate us, make us into something new. We're always being made into something new. Isn't that amazing? We're always being made into something new. B, if you want to live like Christ, then you need to walk the walk. You need to stop talking. Stop acting like it. Well, no, start acting like it, but you need to stop talking. And you need to start walking. Colossians 3:12 through 15 says this, since God chose you to be the holy people He loves, you must clothe yourselves with tender-hearted mercy, kindness, humility, gentleness, and patience. Again, this is Paul giving you a list of things. This is the word of God speaking. This isn't me. This is what He's telling us to do. I'll say it again, tender-hearted mercy. You got to clothe yourself with mercy, kindness, humility, gentleness, and patience. You got to make allowance for each other's faults and forgive anyone who offends you. Remember, the Lord forgave you. You must forgive others. Above all, clothe yourselves with love, which binds us all together in perfect harmony. And let the peace that comes from Christ rule in your hearts. For as members of one body, you are called to live in peace and always be thankful. If you want to live with Christ, you need to walk the walk. You need to do these things. You need to do what the Bible's telling you to do. You need to love each other. You need to have patience for each other. You need to be humble, right? You need to be kind, and you need to have mercy for others. You have to walk the walk. You know, so many people are looking at us. The outsiders, the non-believers are looking at us Christians, and over here, especially in Western culture, they're looking at us and be like, I don't want to be like that. They say they know Jesus, but they're not acting like it. It's hard. It's hard. If you know Jesus, if you're a believer, if you're saved, then you need to start acting like him. He is the perfect example. There's no other person on the face of this earth that you should be mimicking. There's no one else other than Jesus. He is our perfect example of how to live a righteous life. There's nobody else. So stop looking around. Stop looking at social media. Stop looking at movies. Stop looking at the books that you read other than the Bible. And start looking at Jesus. You want to be like somebody, be like Jesus. You don't need to be like any sports player, basketball player, football player. You don't need to be like a politician. You don't need to be like an actor or an actress. You need to be like Jesus. So throw that filth away, all of it, throw it all away, and let God renovate you. And the last part, the culmination of all of this, which Paul says, and it's, I forgot to give you the title of the paper, but that's okay, because this is the title. The title, and number four, is To Live is Christ. To live is Christ. That is not a typo. Who knows that verse? Philippians 1:21. Again, in order, chronological order. I was just so amazed. Chronological order. This is the last thing that he gave me. Philippians 1:21 says this. In NIV, I'm going to give it to you in a few different formats, but in NIV it says this, "For to me, to live is Christ, and to die is gain." The Amplified says it this way, "For to me, to live is Christ. He is my source of joy, my reason to live, and to die is gain, for I will be with him in eternity." And the Message says it this way, "Alive, I'm Christ's messenger. Dead, I'm his prize." Life versus even more life. I can't lose. I love the way that says it. This, in the renovation stage, is the moment you step back and you look at what you've done. And you're like, wow, it all came together. It all looks good. It all looks good. Only you know the quirks and things that maybe didn't work out. But it all looks good. And I've done that several times in my house. It looks good. And again, only I know the little things that maybe I've missed. But to me and to everybody else, hopefully, it all looks good. To live is Christ means that we imitate the example of Christ. This is, Paul is putting all of these things. So we have live for Christ, we have live with Christ, and we have live like Christ. This is all three of those put together and a little bit more. To live is Christ means that we imitate the example of Christ. Ephesians 5:1 says, "Imitate God, therefore, in everything you do, because you are his dear children." And Corinthians 11:1 says, "And you should imitate me just as I imitate Christ." Again, let the word speak for itself. "And you should imitate me just as I imitate Christ." Second one, to live as Christ means that we pursue the knowledge of Christ. We want to know Christ better and better each day. Not just a set of facts about Christ, but we want to know Christ himself. Philippians 3:10 through 11 says, I want to know Christ and experience the mighty power that raised him from the dead. How many of you want to experience that mighty power? Amen. I want to experience the mighty power that raised him from the dead. I want to suffer with him, sharing in his death, so that one way or another, I will experience the resurrection from the dead. How many of you want to suffer with him, sharing in his death? Ooh. To live is Christ. When you get to that moment, you'll realize, I want to live, I want to die for Christ. I want to die for Christ. I want to suffer for Christ. That is so hard to understand. But when you suffer for Christ, you know you're doing things right. And he's always got you. To live as Christ means that we are willing to give up anything, and I repeat, anything, that prevents us from having Christ. Philippians 3, 8 through 9 says, yes, everything else is worthless when compared with the infinite value of knowing Christ Jesus, my Lord. For his sake, I have discarded everything else, counting it all garbage, so that I could gain Christ and become one with him. What is keeping you from living with Christ? You got to get rid of it. It's not worth it. If it's hindering you from your life with Christ, if it's hindering you from growth, it's not worth it. You've got to get rid of it. And it's hard, because maybe that is, you know, it could be money. It could be the love of money. You got to get rid of it. It could be a lot of things. You've got to get rid of it. And only you know what that is. So I encourage you to dig down deep. You may not have to dig that deep, because I have a feeling all of you know what it is. Whatever it is in your life, you've got to get rid of it. To live is Christ means that Christ is our focus, our goal, and our chief desire. Christ is the center point of our mind, heart, body, and soul. Everything that we do for Christ's glory. Now, this is why I said possibly all verses were from Paul, but I'm going to end with this one. This is technically from an unknown author, but they believe it is from Paul, or some scholars say it is Paul. The Hebrews 12, 1 through 2, in closing, says this. Therefore, since we are surrounded by such a huge crowd of witnesses to the life of faith, let us strip off every weight that slows us down, especially the sin that so easily trips us up, and let us run with endurance the race God has set before us. We do this by keeping our eyes on Jesus, the champion who initiates and perfects our faith. Because of the joy awaiting him, he endured the cross, disregarding its shame. Now he is seated in the place of honor beside God's throne. Wow. Wow. I want to get to that point where to live is Christ. You know, I want to be sure that I'm at that point. I want to live for Christ. I want to live with Christ. I want to live like Christ. All those things are very, very important. All those things matter. You can't live like Christ without actually knowing him. You can't actually know him without actually first living for him. You've got to know God. You've got to live for him. You've got to live like him in order to live, in order for your life to live is Christ. That didn't make much sense at the end, but you get it. Live is Christ. Live is Christ. I don't know what stage of life you guys are in, but it's time to grow. That's what it was called. That's what the other sermon was. It's time to grow. That's what it was. But it's time to grow. You could be at the very beginning stage where you're living for Christ. You may not even be there yet. You may be here today wondering who is this Jesus Christ. I don't think so. I think I know almost everybody here. But you may be stuck in that stage. You may be stuck living for Christ because your life is so good. The things that you have right now are the things that you know, the things that you want, they're all there. Your life is great. You don't want to get rid of it because you're afraid that things are going to change when you really start truly living with Christ And I'm here to tell you, yes, they are. Things are really going to change. Things are really going to change for the better. For the better. Because there's nothing better than living with Christ. There's nothing better than knowing that everything you do, you give glory to God for this, this, and that. You give glory to God for your finances. You give glory to God for your health. You give glory to God simply because you are breathing right now. Because you have air, oxygen in your lungs. You give glory to God for that. There's nothing greater than that moment when you realize, I didn't do this. I'm alive not because of the things that I've done. I'm alive because Jesus Christ still wants me here. God still wants me here right now. I'm alive because there's still a plan. He still has a plan for my life. Jeremiah 29:11, for I know the plans I have for you, says the Lord. Plans to prosper you, not to harm you. Plans to give you hope in the future. I love that verse because as long as you are breathing, he still has a plan in your life. He is not done. He's not done. Otherwise, I'm telling you, I've said this for years, we would be dead. If he's done, we're dead. We are living with him in heaven. But we are here because he still has a plan for us. So I encourage you to move up. Move up in the ladder. Move up in the stages of life. If you're living for him, it's time to start living with him. Get to know him. Begin to read the word. Begin to pray. Begin to spend time with him. Get to know him. If you're living with him, it's time to start living like him. It's time to let Jesus be your example. It's time that every step that you take, every move is a reflection of Jesus Christ. That everything you do is what Jesus would have done. It's time to start talking like him, to start acting like him, to start treating others like him. And finally, to live as Christ. You get all these together. You bundle them up into one package. And you live like Christ. Amen. Let's pray. Let's stand.